Well, if you have your Bible, please turn to this passage in Revelation. We come this evening in some ways to a significant moment. We have been spending a significant amount of time looking at this book, this prophecy, this apocalypse, this letter, and that's how it's described. All those words are used. And as we come this evening to this last section of this book of Revelation, indeed to the closing words of Holy Scripture, it is a significant thing to do and a significant moment. And I do just want to briefly set in context where we're at this evening by reminding you of what we said a few weeks ago as we come. This last little section of Revelation 22, the strong thread that is running through it is literally about the coming of the Lord Jesus. And John under God is saying that in light of the coming of the Lord Jesus, there are a number of things that we are to do. And I just want to rehearse the first two really very quickly because we've touched on this. But he says you need to obey this word, verse 7 of chapter 22, "Behold, I am coming soon, and blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." And so we are not only to hear this message, but we are to keep this message. We are to obey the word. And the evidence of knowing God is obeying God. The evidence of knowing God is not just saying that we know God, but actually demonstrating by our lives that we live a life of obedience. And obedience really is the fruit, if you like, of the Christian life. So tonight, and again, we've touched on this, so we're not really dwelling on it. But the challenge for each of us, whoever we are, whatever stage of life we're at, if you profess to be a child of God, and if you profess to be a Christian, that profession of faith is demonstrated by an obedience to Christ, even in this cynical world. And the second thing that we saw was that we are to proclaim this word. Again, verse 10, then he said, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near." And the sense of do not seal up this message, do not seal it up and keep it there, but let it be proclaimed, let it out, and the call to let the word of God and the gospel go forth. And we looked at those verses following, and again, I cannot help but draw you again, verse 17, that wonderful invitation, which is part of the proclamation of this word. And isn't it significant that at the end of this letter and at the end of the scriptures, there is an invitation? Surely that is significant, because in many ways, the whole word of God is an invitation. From Genesis to Revelation, it is an invitation from the Lord God Jehovah, who has revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ and his life and his death and resurrection and ascension and his promise to come back. There is an invitation that goes out to each and every person. The free offer of the gospel goes out to all men and women and young people tonight across the kingdom of Mourne and across this province and across this island and across these islands. Here is the invitation. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride, that is the church, say, come. The invitation to come. Let him who hears say, come. Those who truly hear this message will also say, come. And whoever is thirsty, let him come. And there are many people who are thirsty tonight. And yet the trouble is that they are trying to quench that thirst in the wrong places, at the empty cisterns of life. And they'll waken up tomorrow morning and they will still be thirsting because they have not heeded the call to come. And when you think about it tonight, folks, and it's a very solemn thing, there's a very significant number of people in the kingdom of Mourne, in our town of Kilkeel, who today have completely chosen to ignore this message. They have taken that decision. They don't want to hear it. Now, if they heard me saying that, some of them would say, well, it's not quite as bad as that. But actually, they demonstrate by their absence to whatever church they may claim to go to that they actually are not really interested in this message. They have not been brought to that place where they realize the great need that is theirs. And they realize the great danger that they are in without Jesus. And so there is a need to proclaim this message. And that is the calling of the Christian church, isn't it? To go out and to call people to come, for all things are now ready. Come to Jesus. And so, brother and sister in Christ, tonight I say to you, if you're working with young people, working in the brigades, working in the Sunday school, maybe you're working in some other organization within the church, whatever it is, this is our constant call to seek to draw people to Jesus. We are to proclaim this word. But I want to press on to the passage that is really before us, verse 18. We are to keep this word. Verse 18, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from the book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. We are taught here and told here that we are not to tamper with this word. We are to obey it, we are to proclaim it, and we are to keep it. We are not to tamper with it. It is not ours to tamper with. We are neither to take away from it nor to add to it. So what does this actually mean? How could somebody take away from the word of God? How could somebody add to the word of God? How can we be in danger of taking away from the Bible? And how can we be in danger of adding to the Bible? Well, as I try to speak into that, I just want to mention something, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it. But in some ways, it's something that's related to this, and you may have seen this before. You may not have seen this before. It's easily remembered when you think of the word scan, S-C-A-N. And it's the four words, sufficiency, clarity, authority, and necessity. And it's actually something that people within the Reformed Church, and the Presbyterian Church in Ireland is a Reformed and evangelical church. It is a church built upon the teachings of the Word of God, first and foremost, and it has come out of the Reformation. So we are a Reformed church. And this is a sort of a helpful way that people from a Reformed tradition have spoken about the Word of God. The sufficiency, which is really what we're talking about tonight, the Scriptures, we believe, contain everything we need. for a knowledge of salvation and how to live a godly life. We do not need a further revelation from heaven. So Scripture is sufficient. What we have been given is sufficient. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to take away from it. God forbid. Now, the other three, in some ways, it's something for another evening, but now that they're up there, I just need to mention, just almost in passing, these are all words that help us to understand our understanding of Scripture. It's sufficient. The clarity of Scripture, and what we mean by that very simply is that, and yes, there are parts of the Bible that are maybe difficult to understand, but actually we believe that the plain message of the gospel and the call to faith in Jesus Christ is clearly there for all to see, if they would but read it. It's not complicated. It's straightforward. It's clear in that sense. Sometimes we make it complicated, and other people try to make it complicated. So there is a clarity in the Word of God about the essence of what it's about. The authority of the Word of God is a really massive theme and a very important theme, and it simply teaches that the final word goes to the Word of God. Where is our authority tonight? Where is our authority? We were thinking this morning of the book of Judges. Every man did as he saw fit in his own eyes. There was no king. There was no authority. And when there's no king, when there's no authority, that's what people do. They do what they want to do. Because who's to say that they shouldn't do it? And where is the authority today? It's a really big theme when you think about it. Many across our nation no longer believe in the authority of the Bible. They once did, but they don't believe that now. In fact, they're quite upset when you try to suggest such a thing. And our authority lies in the Word of God, under the headship of Christ. Our authority doesn't lie in a church, denomination, human reason, important as that may be. Final authority is in the Word. And the necessity, that's just speaking about how we need God and His Word to show us how we are to live and the way of salvation. We wouldn't find it in our own strength. Sometimes people say to me, and it makes me a bit sad, you know, no, well, I don't really bother going to church much. I like to go out for a walk on a Sunday morning. I like to go for a walk up the mountain. That's where I meet with God. That makes me sad. You know why it makes me sad? You'll walk a long time in the mountain before you come to a strong sense that you're a sinner in need of God. You might have some vague sense of God. You see, God must reveal these things through His Word, but that's another story. So we're talking tonight about the sufficiency of the Word of God. How can people subtract from the Word of God? It says here, if anyone takes words away. Well, some people have a very lax view of the Bible. Some people have we would describe that as they have a very liberal view of the Bible. And they are saying, actually, that the Bible is not sufficient. Indeed, it is lacking. In fact, there are some bits we could do without. That's what these people say. And just in case you wonder about that, let me give you a very up-to-date example of that. I'm not going into all the details, but I'm quoting here from a book written by David Chapman, a very helpful little book, I believe, in the Bible. And he tells this sad little story of how 1995, that's not long ago, that a letter was circulated around an English diocese it happened to be the Church of England, there are some very fine people within the Church of England, so hopefully they will forgive me for using this example. But anyway, this person who circulated this letter said, we need an alternative Bible. We have an alternative prayer book, so it's time for an alternative Bible. And this new publication would remove parts of the Old Testament on the grounds of it being, quote, unclear, obsolete, and repetitive. And not only that, they would bring in other writings from outside the Word of God, which would help to deal with moral problems that we are coping with today. Now, that's quite shocking, isn't it? Well, thankfully, it never really came to anything, but it was a very real attempt by some people to basically say, the Bible is not sufficient. We need to take parts of it away, and we need to bring other bits in. So I'm using that example just so that you can see, you might be saying, well, that doesn't really happen. It does happen today, and it's very, very wrong. But how do we add to the Word of God? Well, let me... Again, there are some verses. I'm not going to read through them all, but let me read the first couple. Deuteronomy 4:2, do not add to what I command you and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. Deuteronomy 12:32, see that you do all I command you. Do not add to it or take away from it. The Proverbs one's very good, but I'm just not reading it at the moment. Mark 7:13. Jesus said, thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that. So how do you add to the word of God? Well, we rightly criticize and stand against the cults. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, people like that, who have literally added many things to the word of God. And we also stand against any attempt to allow tradition to nullify the Word of God. Often human tradition and church tradition and even societal and cultural tradition sometimes have been given more weight than is due to them. And we must be very clear, and I'm sure we are, tradition does not have an equal role with the Scriptures in our knowing the truth about God. Traditions have their place, but they must be kept in their place, and that is always under the Word of God. Because can you see that there is a danger that if you lift things up to the Word of God, you are in danger of almost adding to the Word of God? And the Lord Jesus said that these people in his day, who had a very high view of the Word of God, actually, the Pharisees, they were nullifying the Word of God by their traditions. So we have to be very careful, don't we? In some circles, we've been quick to critique the Roman teachings, which are more based on church tradition than Scripture. For example, teachings about papal infallibility or various teachings about the veneration of Mary. And we have critiqued these, and rightly so, because we believe that they are things that have been added to the Word of God. And we're entitled to critique those things, provided, in my view, we do it in a humble and respectful manner, which is befitting the Reformed faith. There's an old English proverb that I like, soft words and hard arguments. That's what you should use. Soft words and hard arguments. Not the other way around, hard words and soft arguments. But here's the thing, folks. We also need to examine ourselves. This word challenges us. Don't add to the Word of God. Now, here's a question I want to throw out. Are there traditions within our Reformed and evangelical circles that sometimes have been given too much weight? Are there traditions that have been given too much weight and are in danger of adding to the Word? I was going to say you can write your answers to me and send them in a postcard, but let me read a paragraph here from a very helpful old book that I have by the late John Stott, Christ the Controversialist. It's a really excellent book. And he's speaking here on a chapter on tradition, on authority, tradition or Scripture. Let me read this to you, and you can tell me afterwards what you think. He said, we must distinguish clearly between tradition and Scripture. Most of us Christian people have a set of cherished beliefs and practices, probably inherited from our parents or learned in childhood from the church. Too many of us have accepted them uncritically on blog. And evangelical believers are by no means free of this tendency. For example, our touch not, taste not, handle not, he's quoting from Colossians 2, has often been smoke not, drink not, dance not. I am not expressing an opinion on whether we should or should not engage in these habits. What I am saying is that Scripture contains no explicit pronouncement upon them. These prohibitions belong, therefore, to the traditions of the evangelical elders. They are not part of the Word of God. No Christian can escape the responsibility of trying to think biblically and decide conscientiously about such ethical questions as these. He then has liberty to refrain or to practice at his discretion, but he has no liberty either to impose his traditions on others or to stand in judgment on others if they disagree with him. We need to say to ourselves again and again, as Christ taught the Pharisees, that Scripture is obligatory, but tradition optional. In other words, we have to absolutely, as conscience leads us and our mind leads us, adhere to the teachings of the Word of God. And we have to think very carefully about other things and decide under God what is right. But if something is just a tradition, if something is just a man-made idea, we have to think very carefully before trying to impose it on someone else. So think carefully about what I've said there. I'm not really making a statement on those examples that he's given, but I'm just trying to make the point that in our own circles, let's not fall into the trap of the Pharisees who added or took away from the Word of God by their traditions. I'm not against traditions, but I am against them, absolutely, when they come to a place of taking away from the Word of God and the Word of the King. So let us, with much humility and submission to Christ and to his word, ensure that we keep this word, that we neither take away from it nor add to it. Covenant documents. And the Scriptures are a covenant document. They are not to be tampered with. God's written and completed revelation, which is the canon of Scripture, is sacred. It is sacred. And all of this is set within the context of these closing words, "Yes, I am coming soon." And isn't it appropriate that the end of this book and the end of this scripture is brought to us with these words about the coming of Jesus? And that's really the heart of John as he closes this book. And that's really the heart of what I want to share with you in these few moments that I have before I finish. John's heart here is filled with rapture. His soul is consumed with a longing for the coming of Jesus. And so he says, literally, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Let's obey this word. Let's proclaim this word. Let's keep this word until that day when he comes. Folks, that is the cry of the Christian. If you're converted this evening, if you're born of God, that's the cry of your heart. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. And it was lovely to hear the choir singing that wonderful hymn by Timothy Dudley Smith. I wonder if you picked up some of the words that when the Lord, when he comes, it'll not be the child of humble birth or the carpenter of earth. Not the man by all denied, nor the victim crucified, but the God who died to save, and the victor of the grave. He it is to whom we will fall. Jesus Christ, our all in all. And so tonight, folks, I am bound as a pastor and a preacher to ask you, are you ready for the coming of Jesus? Or have you completely forgotten about this? If Christ were to come before tomorrow comes, are you ready? Are you ready? Or are you just going through life saying, you know, I do need to be ready? And I plead with you this evening, if you have not really thought about this, but maybe something touches your heart in these moments and you suddenly realize that this gospel is indeed a very serious thing. I say to you, come and put your trust in the Lord Jesus, even tonight, even as you sit in that pew tonight. Say, Lord, come and save me. Come and make me ready, so that when you come, it will be glory. Because remember, the word has taught us at the beginning of this apocalypse that when he comes, there will be those who will say glory, and there will be those who will weep and wail. Why? Because they've realized that he has come and they're not ready. They will realize for the first time with great horror that what the preacher was saying was true. Allow that to weigh on you. Are you ready tonight, young person? Are you ready? Are you ready tonight, older person? You need to be ready. Nothing more important in this world than to be ready. How can you be ready? Repent and believe the gospel. I finish with this. John Wesley was once asked what he would do if he knew that Jesus was to return on a certain date. He looked in his documents, and what he had down for that day, and he read out the things that he had planned to do that day to the person who made the statement, and he said to them, this is what I will do. What about you? Could you do and say the same thing? Or would you want to change your diary? Or change your appointments? Or change your whole life? Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray humbly and sincerely tonight that in light of your coming again, that you would help us to be faithful, that we would obey that word, that we would proclaim it, that we would keep it. And Lord, that there would be that desire within all of our hearts, that we would go out tonight, not so much thinking, cold as it may be, of how cold it is or anything like that, but thinking of the coming of Jesus. And to live in light of that. Lord, thank you for a sense of your help over these months as we've looked at this passage, this letter, this apocalypse. And we thank you tonight that the Lamb wins. Lord, help us to go forth in light of that glorious truth and to commend the Lamb to others. Lord, hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. We ask it. Amen.